And now your host, Jim Dearman.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Those words are found in Amos 8, verse 11. A famine, we know, is a severe shortage, a dearth. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the prophet said, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." This passage indicates barriers are possible between God and us. We're going to notice today some conditions during Israel's famine and the conditions today that indicate another famine in our land. It is possible for man to create barriers between himself and God, as we have said. In Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, the verses tell us, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." Now notice verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. They had every opportunity, the Gentiles did, to know God, and yet they refused to have the knowledge of God and persisted in their perverted ways." Today we study a time and a people who closed their eyes. A people closing their eyes and ears to the Word of God. Closing their eyes to the prophets. So they wanted them out of their sight, as it were. And they didn't want to hear what the prophets had to say. For four centuries there was a famine. No revelation from God. And when Jesus came, there was no famine because the people had the words of the Lord. They still had the 39 books of the Old Testament. As in Acts 15:21, Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Jesus himself reminded the Jews, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." They had the Old Testament. There had been a famine of additional revelation for some 400 years. Then Jesus came. But when Jesus came, there was a famine of the hearing of the Word on the part of the Jews. Let us notice the reasons for the famine of hearing among the Jews. And let's relate some of those situations in that time to the present day situations, and yes, a famine in the land today. The Jews were relying on the traditions of their elders and the doctrines and commandments of men when Jesus came. In Mark 7, verse 9, the words of Jesus are recorded. "All too well," He said, "you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." Moses had said, as recorded in Deuteronomy 4, 2, and they should have known it, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." But they had added. They had subtracted. There was also a strong allegiance to their religious parties. In the days of Jesus, the Herodians were mainly a political party. The Sadducees denied the resurrection. The Pharisees were largely responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Essenes withdrew from society. They believed that there was spirituality in poverty and in separating themselves from the world. Another reason for the famine of hearing in the land was ignorance. Jesus on one occasion said to the Sadducees, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." Matthew 22:29. The prophet Hosea had declared in his day, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Hosea 4. and verse 6. There is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God today. There are many who reject the Word of God completely. There are those today who deny the existence of God. And obviously, since they deny the existence of God, they are not going to accept the Bible as being the Word of God. But let's ask this question. What are the reasons for the modern famine in the land? As with the days of old, there are the traditions, the doctrines, and the commandments of men that have caused the famine. This is a primary cause of the famine of the hearing of the Word of God today. You see, men have exalted their precepts above God's Word. Creeds of men have supplanted the Scriptures. Religious people are like the Pharisees of the Lord's time. They have become loyal to tradition. And there's the same allegiance to religious parties. Modernists like the Sadducees deny the supernatural altogether. Denominationalists like the Pharisees of old are loyal to their denominational teaching rather than the pure Word of God. Even when a doctrine is shown to be false among them, many times they refuse to give up their loyalties to these groups. I remember studying once with a lady. We were studying the question of whether or not it was biblically the case that once a person was saved, he was always saved. That is a prevalent doctrine in the religious world today. You hear it a lot, I'm sure, if you listen to radio preachers or watch those on television or perhaps where you attend, you may hear that teaching. Once you're saved, you're always saved. This lady and I were studying that matter. And after we examined the Scriptures, which teach clearly and abundantly that once saved, always saved is not a biblical teaching, she was still unwilling to come away from the denominational group that clearly and regularly taught that doctrine. Why would one want to remain a part of a group teaching a doctrine so completely contrary to the Lord's teaching? Once saved, always saved is not taught in Scripture. There are literally hundreds of passages that deny that false teaching. The writer of Hebrews, for example, on one occasion, Hebrews 3:12 said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you..." Now listen again. "Take heed, brethren," writing to Christians. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you..." You who? You brethren. You Christians. "An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Does that sound like once saved, always saved? Of course not. That is one of literally hundreds of passages that could be cited to clearly teach from the Lord's Word that once saved, always saved is not a Bible doctrine. And yet, here was a lady who was unwilling. Once she saw that, she was still unwilling to come away from the group that was leading so many souls astray by teaching that and other false doctrines. We need to be willing to give up our party loyalties, our denominational loyalties, and to strike hands across the precious Word of God, it and it alone, to help answer the Lord's prayer for unity, that we may all be one as God and Christ are one. You know, that's the way the Lord prayed for unity. He prayed for the kind of unity that He had with the Father. What kind of unity did they have? We've studied this in a previous lesson. What kind of unity did God and Christ have? Were they unified in teaching? Were they unified in doctrine? Or did Jesus teach something different as He was on earth than what God in heaven wanted Him to? We know the answer, don't we? And so if we're to be united, it can't be by agreeing to disagree. It will only be by uniting upon what God and Christ have revealed through the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, the New Testament. And yes, ignorance is still alive and well among us today as a cause for the famine of hearing the Word. Many have quit reading their Bibles. Many never started. many never will start. And there are those who desire to have ear ticklers in the pulpit. They simply want to hear what pleases them. They want an endorsement of their lifestyle from the pulpit rather than a rebuke of their lifestyle based upon what the New Testament teaches. There are many who have not received the love of the truth. Here's what Paul had to say about that in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And in the religious world today, there are so many who are seeking entertainment from worship today. They are not concerned about what God wants in worship. They're more concerned about what makes them happy, what pleases them, frankly, what entertains them. Who can deny the entertainment-oriented aspect today that you see in the denominational world? Yes, there is such an entertainment emphasis there. Of course, there is everything that is wrong about denominationalism in terms of its traditions and creeds versus this, as we've already pointed out. But the tragedy is that there's a growing problem with this entertainment emphasis, even in the Lord's church. The church that was purchased with the blood of Christ. There are those in the Lord's church who have been influenced by the denominational world. There have been books that have been written that indicate a problem that we are facing in this area today. So we know it's real among us. What can be done about it? Well, one thing that needs to be done immediately is that preachers need to preach the Word. They need to preach the Word without compromise, as God wants it preached. Jonah was told concerning Nineveh long ago, cry out against it. Cry out against it. Elders in the Lord's church need to tend the flock of God, as 1 Peter 5:2 directs them. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, Peter said, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. There are elders in the brotherhood who are listening to God's word today about like King Saul did concerning the Amalekites. Remember Saul? He said they have brought them from the Amalekites, those things that were spared when God had told them to destroy everything. He said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, now, was that what God had said? No. God had said, destroy everything. Then Saul further contended, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal, 1 Samuel 15:21. Now, how did that set with Samuel, God's prophet, God's spokesman? In other words, how did that set with God? How did that go over with the God of heaven? Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. He realized it after Samuel rebuked him. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. What a commentary that is. Listen, I feared the people. I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. What a tragic commentary that is on so many today in the Lord's church. Many in the religious world, obviously. Those in the religious world who are not a part of the Lord's church have obviously gone the way of tradition and the creeds of men. But yes, even in the Lord's church, we have not been unaffected by that principle. We have heard the people and obeyed them. There are elders in the Lord's church who are tragically guilty of following King Saul's way. How can we do something? Preachers need to cry out against sin. Elders need to oversee the flock of God. as God has directed them to do, lovingly but firmly in terms of speaking out against error and guiding the flock in the way that God would have them go. And every Christian, every member of the Lord's body must study, must work, and defend the faith if the famine in the land is to be overcome. Let me ask you, have you refused to receive the Word of God? Let me ask you this, are you contributing to the famine in the land? If you have refused to receive the Word of God, you are contributing to the famine in our land today. And so we would plead with you to hear the Word of God and to obey it. What must you do? Hear the Word of God. That's the beginning point. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I cannot listen, I must not listen to the traditions and creeds of men. I must know that what I am hearing comes from the Word of God, the last will and testament of Christ, the New Testament, which is our authority today. I must hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But that's the next step, faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I must believe. I must believe not only that God is, I must believe that Jesus Christ is, and that He is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said in John 8:24 that unless we believe that He is the Christ, we will die in our sins. He came to save us from our sins, but unless we believe in Him, we'll die in our sins, not be saved from them. But that's where tragically so many today stop with the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation that permeates our religious world today is a plan that says simply believe. Only believe. Faith only. And yet the Bible is filled with admonitions that make it abundantly clear that faith alone is not where we must stop. It's where we start. We must believe and allow our belief to move us forward to repent. You see, the same Lord who said, "You will die in your sins if you do not believe," is the same Lord who said, "Repent or perish." Luke 13:3. And again at verse 5. Now, repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. It involves restitution, as far as it's possible for me to make restitution. That's the full definition of repentance in the Bible. But don't you see that if repentance is necessary, it can't be faith alone that saves. We must believe, then we must repent based upon that belief. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we must repent of our sins. And then we must confess Him as the Christ. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto, in the direction of salvation. Romans 10:10, as Paul, by inspiration, expressed it. And then we're ready for that final step of faith. Yes, the final step of faith, obedient faith, baptism. What kind of baptism? The only kind that's ever spoken of in the New Testament. Burial. That's what baptism is. Man has substituted other modes, I know. But God never allowed for substitutions. It has always been, always will be, a burial in water. Why? Because it is in the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ by which we are saved in baptism. By the water, no, but by the blood. But you see, it is in the burial in water that the blood is applied. God promised to do that. That's the only place He will do that. Therefore, we must go down into that watery tomb and contact the blood of Christ that was shed in His death. We contact that blood in the likeness of His death. And when we're raised from that tomb, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. We're added to the church of the New Testament, which is described in vivid detail in the New Testament. We can know exactly how to work and worship, how to be organized, from this book. That church exists today. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ exists today, and you can be a part of it. How? By hearing the Word and obeying it. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing Jesus as Lord and Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism, that He might add you to that church. And as you remain faithful in the church, even unto death, that is, even in death, He has promised you something. Eternal life. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. But it's not only the future reward with which we're blessed as Christians. There are so many present blessings that come to those who come to the Lord.